John chapter number 1 and verse number 12. And let's read. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm going to talk to you this morning about salvation and believing on Jesus. Dear God, thank you again for being a wonderful God. And dear Holy Spirit of God, please do thou a work that only you can do in the hearts and minds of thy people. For lost and saved, whoever is listening to this sermon in this room here, in this auditorium, online, wherever they're listening to it, on a CD maybe or DVD, whatever it is. Dear Holy Spirit of God, I pray, Lord, that you'd convict, impress upon us the importance of thy words in Scripture, the importance of salvation, please. Help us not to muddy the waters. Help us not to confuse the matter. But help us to realize how simple and easy salvation really is. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Notice in John chapter number 1, verse number 12, but as many as received him, that's what you have to do with salvation. You must receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's standing at your heart's door right now, knocking. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. So for salvation, Jesus is the door, the Bible says. And all we have to do is go through the door. It's not complicated. Man complicates it, as we're going to get through to in a little bit here. But God makes it easy for people to get saved. Notice, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So when you're saved, when you're born again, you are born of God. I'm going to talk about that this morning and turn to quite a few verses this morning. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 2. Some familiar territory, some maybe not familiar territory. Ephesians chapter number 2. But I want you to read this with your God-given eyeball, what God says about salvation. And you'll understand why when we get to the verses that we're going to read. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 8 and 9. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, period. God makes it very clear, crystal clear, in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, that salvation is not of works. The gift of God is not of works. It is by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you take your Bible and turn to Titus chapter number 3, right, a couple books before Hebrews, Titus chapter number 3, verse number 5. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you know anything about grace, you know that grace is God giving us something that is good that we do not deserve. That's God's grace. Mercy is God not giving us something bad that we deserve. In other words, God gives us salvation and heaven. That's his grace. God spares us from hell because of his mercy. We do not deserve to go to heaven. We deserve to go to hell to pay for our sins as sinners. But God, in his mercy and in his grace, allows us to go to heaven. He allows us to be saved from a burning hell only by receiving Jesus Christ, a payment for our sin, who died in our place and paid the penalty for it. Now, take your Bible, please, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I mentioned this verse in the adult Bible study this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. If you've been coming to this church for any length of time, you know that on Sunday morning especially, I try to preach to the heart and, for burdens and heartaches and struggles that people have. Well, that's not this Sunday morning sermon. The Sunday morning sermon is what you would probably mostly hear on a Sunday in a Sunday school, the adult Bible study, or a Wednesday night. Sometimes in a Sunday night sermon, I'm going to be talking about just one doctrine this morning, and that's salvation. Now, sometimes when you come Sunday morning, doctrine can be boring. But I dare say this is probably one of the most important subjects you'll ever hear in your life, ladies and gentlemen. So pay attention on purpose. I'm not going to have any cute illustrations this morning, no tear-jerking illustrations. I'll tell you what, that was a great song the lady just sang right there, man. If that doesn't speak to your heart, ain't nothing going to speak to your heart right there, man. But I want to caution you for the next 30 minutes or so or more that this is going to be dealing just with the doctrine of salvation. Because if you get this wrong, you're not going to be able to deal with your heartaches and your burdens and your problems in life. If you don't believe what God says about salvation, you're not going to believe the other promises just as simply putting your faith and trust in what God says. You're going to have doubts. Oh, can God really do that today? Or is that for today? Oh, I don't know if I really believe that. I'll tell you what, before you get to that, you got to get to this doctrine right here, salvation. First of all, make sure that you're saved. Don't say that you're going to go to heaven because you're a Baptist. Don't say you're going to go to heaven because you come to church. You're going to go to heaven for only one reason, because you've asked Jesus Christ for mercy to save your soul. And I'm going to explain why it's so important. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." We talked about in the adult Bible study. Now, because we've trusted Jesus Christ to be our Savior, we have God's righteousness imputed to us that we're going to read. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. "Moreover, brethren," verse number 1, "I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15 in verses 3 and 4 is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what a person needs to believe in order to go to heaven. Period. There is nothing else that you need to know other than Jesus Christ is God Almighty, sinless, came and died in your place where you and I deserve to go, to die on the cross, and paid for our sin in hell so that we wouldn't have to go to hell to pay for our sin, and he took our place. And all we need to do is ask the perfect Lamb of God, the sinless Lamb of God, we need to ask him to come in our heart. We receive him as our Savior by believing on his name, and you are saved just like you walk through a door from one room to the other room, from darkness to light, from eternal damnation to eternal salvation. It is that simple. That simple. Let's go back now to John chapter number 1, and let's read this morning, shall we? Take your Bible. We're about to read. John chapter number 1. Verse number 12, where we start at. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Verse number 29. The Bible says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Verse number 17. The Bible says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." God gave Moses the Ten Commandments and the law on Mount Sinai. Take your Bible, please, turn to John chapter number 2 and verse number 22. John 2, verse 22. "When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said." And that's what you need to do this morning. You need to believe this book, the word of God, the Scripture concerning salvation and everything else. John chapter number 3, verse number 12. Jesus speaking, "If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" If you don't believe that God made Adam and Eve instead of Adam and Steve, then how in the world am I going to tell you about heaven and hell and eternal salvation? If you don't believe the natural things in life, friends, if you don't think the sun's coming up tomorrow morning, you got a problem. And some people, I mean, they're out there this morning, man. They're way out there. But Jesus very plainly says, if I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man, verse 13, hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life, period. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, period. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, period. Not through our works or not through our good morality or our religious works. Verse number 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, period. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Verse number 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Present tense, not in the future. If you're born again now, you have eternal life. And he that believeth not, the Son hath not see, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him, present tense, not in the future. Right now, you are either saved or you are lost. You're either on your way to heaven forever or you're on your way to hell forever. It's one of the two. Take your Bible, turn to the next chapter. I'm skipping chapter 4, verses 46 to 55. You can read it on your own. But read chapter number 5, verse number 24. Watch this. Chapter 5, verse number 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus is speaking, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, present tense, everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, you can call this sermon faith versus works. You can call this sermon grace versus law. You can call this sermon easy believism versus legalism, or Bible believing versus Romanism or Protestantism. You can call this sermon salvation versus the works repentance crowd, or they're not really saved. You can call this anything you want, but this is the salvation that God clearly outlines in the Word of God, how simple salvation is by believing on Jesus Christ, and only by believing on Jesus Christ as your Savior. Take your Bible, please, and turn to John 5, verse number 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Chapter number 6, verse number 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath, present tense, everlasting life. Verse number 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. That's your body. That's anything you do with your flesh profiteth nothing. I don't care where you dress it up. I don't care if you spray on it. I don't care if you wash it. I don't care if you make it look fancy and clean it up. The flesh profiteth nothing when it comes to salvation. Absolutely nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Just because you bring your body, the flesh, to church, has no bearing on your salvation or not. You can come to this building every single service and still die and burn in hell, ladies and gentlemen. You're not going to go to heaven because you're baptized. You're not going to go to heaven because you're Baptist. You're not going to go to heaven because you're good. You're not going to go to heaven for only one reason, because you believe Jesus Christ paid for your sin. Period. Verse number 68. Then Simon answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, the words. And we believe, this is what Peter said, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God, before the resurrection. Chapter number 7, verse number 19. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? That's what Jesus said. As a matter of fact, James says in James chapter number 2, verse 10, if any man offended one point, he is guilty of all. I don't care if you try to keep 99.99% of the law, you offend one point, you're guilty of all the law, ladies and gentlemen, and every single person has been guilty of that, amen? He said, Did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keep the law? Why go ye about to kill me? Verse number 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me, not a religious organization, not to a religious meeting, not to religious works. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, not a religious organization, not a religious set of rules. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Chapter 8, verse 21. Chapter 8, verse number 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. See, when a person rejects Jesus Christ as the only means of their salvation, then they die in their sins. They do not have their sins washed away. They don't have their sins forgiven. They think their rosary is going to be good enough. Their sacraments are going to be good enough. They think their baptism is going to be good enough. They think their religious service is going to be good enough. No, you're going to die in your sins if you replace anything with Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, he says in chapter 8, verse number 24, the same thing. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah? Do you believe he's God Almighty? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is Jehovah God Almighty that we talked about this morning in the adult Bible study? That's what you need for salvation. Chapter 8, verse number 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Well, you can be a believer but not a disciple. It's the next step up. There's three different steps in the Bible. There's a believer, then there's a disciple, and then there's a Christian. Christian is Christ-like. But I got news for you. You go ahead and read John chapter 6 when you have a chance. You'll see many disciples forsook Jesus. But a disciple can be saved, and a Christian is saved. There's three different levels. But a believer is not necessarily a disciple. And a disciple is not necessarily a Christian. Verse number 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Notice it doesn't say set you free. It says makes you free. There's a big difference there. John chapter number 9. I'm sorry, chapter 8, verse number 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I am free from my sin. Jesus took away my sins. He washed my sins away. He separated my soul from my flesh. That's salvation, amen? When God looks at John Cletus, he looks at the soul of John Cletus. You look at a sinner because you see my flesh. But God looks at me as if I've never sinned. That's what being justified is in the Bible. That as God looks at you as if you have never sinned. Does God see you that way? Are you saved? Are you born again? Chapter number 9, verse number 21. John 9, verse number 21. But what means he now seeth? We know not. Or who hath opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. Are you of age? Can you speak? Are you 4, 5, 6 years old? These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess, just all you had to do, confess, that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Verse number 23. Therefore said his parents, he is of age. Ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. You can read the story later on, but we pick it up again in verse number 34. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast them out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, watch this, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, period. And he worshiped him. That's all you need to do to trust Jesus Christ, to believe on Jesus Christ. Chapter number 10, verse number 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Once saved, always saved, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot lose your salvation if you're a child of God. If you've trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you can't lose it. But if you're a Catholic, the Catholic Church teaches you can lose it. If you're a Seventh-day Adventist, the Seventh-day Adventist says you can lose it. If you're a Charismatic or Pentecostal, they say that you can lose it. If you're a Methodist or Presbyterian, they say that you can lose it. Is everybody paying attention to this morning? I'm talking about whether you what you believe in. Is it faith or works? What is it that you believe this morning? John chapter number 10, verse number 38. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. John chapter number 11. You know what Jesus wants you to do? He wants you to believe him. That's it. Believe this book, believe him, believe his word. And the Christian life is not more complicated than that. The reason we don't believe it is because the fear of man bringeth a snare. We're afraid to believe what God says for salvation and everything else under the sun. Chapter 11, verse number 25. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me. So how many times do we have to go through this? Yeah, until it gets through our thick skull, amen? Yeah. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Well, he asked the question, a fundamental Baptist. Believest thou this? Verse 27, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Well, I believe that, ladies and gentlemen. Verse number 42. Verse 42, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Not to do something to prove that you're saved, but just to believe in Jesus Christ. Verse number 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Chapter 12, verse number 10. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. And that's why they hate this kind of work. That's why Satan hates this kind of church, because it pokes holes. It proves a fallacy of the fallible Pope who claims to be infallible. Boy, that's got to be the worst sinner on planet Earth. For somebody to say he's infallible, for somebody to say that he sits on the throne of God and speaks as God, that's probably one of the most blasphemous things I think anybody could ever say on planet Earth. And yet for a billion people to follow that kind of works religion, ladies and gentlemen, is very contrary to the very words of God. Mormons say the same thing. The Jehovah's Witnesses say the same thing. You know what? They say the Catholics, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Mormons all teach that there's no salvation outside the church. You will not find that anywhere in the Bible. You'll find that in their writings and in their books. Amen. Salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. Right. Not in a Baptist church, not in a Catholic church. Amen. John chapter 12. Verse number 12, I'm sorry, verse number 32. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And that's an indictment on Christianity today. We're lifting up our organizations. We're lifting up our books. We're lifting up our movement. What with the thing we're not lifting up, I'm sorry, the person we're not lifting up is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we ought to be lifting up, amen? And I'm not against church, and I'm not against our movement, and I'm not against our standards. But the one thing we ought to be doing is lifting up Jesus, amen? And he promised, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So the problem is with us, not with God. The problem is with us, not with the Word of God. Chapter number 13. We've gone through every single chapter so far, and I've skipped chapter 4 just for brevity's sake. Every single chapter so far in John has to talk about believing in Jesus Christ. It's not complicated. John chapter 13, verse number 19. Now I tell you before it come that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verse number 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if ye have love one to another. And that's just like the verse we just mentioned about lifting Jesus up. If we just loved every, and thank God we have a church that loves each other, amen? And thank God there's harmony in our church. And by the way, that's why you see people getting saved and baptized, amen? And that's why you see visitors coming, and that's why you see new people coming, and that's why you see new people staying, amen? Amen. Chapter 14, verse number 1. Chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me, period. Period. You're not going to be able to get a hold of the preacher 24/7. You're not going to be able to call me and talk to me whenever you want. But blessed be God, you can get a hold of Jesus anytime you want, amen? You can get a hold of King James Bible anytime you want, amen? Church doors may be closed when you want to come here and pray. But I got news for you. The throne of grace is always open to everybody who believes, amen? It's available to everybody. And the only qualification is believing in Jesus Christ. Chapter 14, verse number 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not Buddha, not Mohammed, not Confucian, because he's confused, not anybody else. But the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You think your way is the only way? No, Jesus' way is the only way, man. Yeah, not my way, but Jesus' way. You're not going to go to heaven without Jesus Christ. And you have to, as we said earlier, he is God Almighty, ladies and gentlemen. Not a God, he's the God. But yet we have people that you think you can pray to saints. You can pray to Mary. My Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The only person between you and God is going to be Jesus Christ, and that's the only person you can go through to go to heaven, ladies and gentlemen. Not Mary, not a saint, not a confessional booth, not a priest, not a preacher, but Jesus Christ. Chapter 14, verse number 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He that doeth the works, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Chapter 15, verse number 3, it's a matter of believing. Chapter 15, verse number 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Chapter 16, you got to believe the word of God to be saved, amen. Chapter 16, verse number 29. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. But this we believe, that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered him, Do ye now believe? Have you believed yet? Huh? Chapter 17, verse number 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Not a religious system, not a religious work system, not a religious organization, but Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. Chapter 17, verse number 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And if you don't have a King James Bible, you don't have the Word of God. Mark her down, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care what other perversion you got. If it's after the King James Bible, it's not the Word of God. Amen. Verse number 8, For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. Watch this. I pray not for the world, I couldn't give a flip for the world. It's going to burn one day, ladies and gentlemen. But for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Verse number 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. This is why the world hates this kind of preaching. Because they don't want to, feel uncomfortable in the false doctrine and the false belief system that they've put their whole life into. I mean, can you imagine spending 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years in a religious system that is false, that is a fake, that is phony? And the Bible proves it. It's too discomforting for them. It's too uncomfortable for them. It bothers their conscience. They can't think it. That can't be true, that I've wasted all my life lighting my candles and going to my priest and going to the confessional hellhole booth. For sure, I thought that was salvation. I was baptized. And they told me in the Catholic Church that I was born again when I was baptized. But that's not what Jesus said. No, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, 1 Peter 1:21 says. That's how you're born again, not by baptism, but by being born again by the Spirit. Jesus said in John 3, you must be born again. He said, marvel not that you must be born again. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. But we have all these religions cloaked with formality and religious words and religious songs and religious books and religious service to make the comers think that they're saved, to make them think that they're on the way to heaven, contrary to the very words of Almighty God. Thank God someone had enough compassion on my soul and gave me the word of God, and I left that whorish system behind. Chapter number 18. I'm sorry, we didn't finish 17 yet. Chapter 17, verse number 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. There's people that are not saved, that are going to get saved through the witness of our word, of the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, and through our testimony. In the following days, the following weeks, the following months, the following years, there are going to be other people saved, just like you got saved, amen? And you're going to tell somebody, go out. When you go outside these doors, you're going to witness to somebody, you're going to go soul winning, you're going to visit somebody, and all they need to do is trust Jesus Christ, be their Savior. They don't have to come to church to get saved, amen? And they don't have to get baptized to get saved. They don't have to be a member to be saved, amen? And so it's easy to be saved, ladies and gentlemen. Chapter number 18, verse number 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Chapter 19, verse number 35. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith, that he saith true, that ye might believe. That's why the word of God is written, as we're going to read it. Chapter 20, verse 29. Chapter 20, verse 29. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Verse number 31. But these are written. He's telling us why the word of God is written. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. That's exactly where we start in John chapter number 1, verse number 12, ladies and gentlemen. Well, have you believed in Jesus Christ? Do you know him as your Savior? In Acts chapter number 2, verse number 41, they gladly received his word. In Acts chapter number 8, verse number 12, they believed and then they were baptized. In Acts chapter number 8, verse 20 and 21, they said, thy money perish with thee because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You can't purchase the gift of God with money, but that's what people try to do. They try to buy God off with rosaries and prayers for the dead. There's no such thing as purgatory. When a person dies, you're either in heaven or hell. That's a man-made religion to make money off of people that are alive and have this false religious thinking about people that are dead, that we can pray for them and pay money for candles and pay money for sacraments and pay money for penance and pay money for the dead so we can lift them up out of purgatory. No, that's a man-made religion to make money off of people that don't know their Bibles. In Acts chapter number 8, verses 36 to 38, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest be baptized, he's talking about. And the answer is that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's all you need to get baptized, amen. You don't need a class. You don't need a course. You just need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that you've asked Jesus Christ to save your soul. In chapter number 11, verse 21, a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Believe does not mean to turn, but they did turn after they believed in Acts chapter number 11. In Acts chapter 13, verse number 12, then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished, watch this, at the doctrine of the Lord. In Acts chapter number 15, verse number 5, there were Pharisees that believed, but they thought it was needful to be circumcised. Just like we have a whole bunch of Baptists today who believe, but they think you ought to toe the line, listen to me good, when it comes to repentance to prove that you're saved. You won't find that in the Bible anywhere. As a matter of fact, Acts chapter 15, verse 7 through 11, but we believe that through grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they, the Old Testament Jews, and in verse number 9, purifying their hearts by faith. Yeah. You have to purify your heart, not your flesh, not circumcision, not a religious work, not a religious duty. You are saved by your mind, deciding that you're putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You invite Jesus Christ into your heart. He becomes your Savior, and you are saved forever. In Acts chapter 15, verse 24, certain which went out from us, they were from us, have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying that you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. That's what's going on in fundamentalism today. And that's the problem, that we have no revival today. Because everybody across the country just about is saying, well, they're not really saved because you're not circumcised. You're not really saved because you're not coming to church. You're not really saved because you're not tithing. You're not really saved because you're not dressing right. You're not really saved because A, B, C, fill in the blank. That's the exact same argument they had in Acts 15 about them being circumcised. But in Acts chapter 16, verse number 30, 31, the question is asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. In Acts chapter number 18, verse number 8, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. In Acts 18, verse 27, they believed through grace. Again, grace is God giving us something good, like heaven, that we don't deserve. Acts 20, verse 24, that we're supposed to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Not the works, but the grace of God. Acts 24, 14, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3, verse number 19. Are you saved? Or are you basing your faith, or are you basing your religion on a system of works that's going to burn up one day? Romans 3, verse number 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all. And upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned. Even Mary has sinned, ladies and gentlemen. It is a blasphemous statement to say that Mary has never sinned. Just read your Bible in Luke chapter number 1 in Leviticus. It teaches that Mary gave sin offerings. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. That's all you got to do. Verse 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Chapter number 4, I wish I could read verses 1 through 16, man. It just talks about Abraham, believing by faith. That's all it talks about. Verse number 6, even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, ladies and gentlemen, without works. And it goes on in verse number 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. And that's the only reason why people go to hell, because of their unbelief in Jesus Christ. Not because they're queers, not because they're liars, not because they're thieves, not because they're not Baptists. The only reason somebody will go to hell is because they did not believe in Jesus Christ. The only reason, ladies and gentlemen, unbelief. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Romans 5, verses 1 through 2. Romans 5, 15 to 21. Romans 6, 14, 17, and 23. Romans 9, 30 to 33. Romans 10, 1 through 4, 9 through 13. Romans 11, 6, 20, 21, 23, 32. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. Galatians 2, 4, 16 and 21. Turn to Galatians chapter number 2, please. Galatians chapter number 2. Right after the book of 2 Corinthians. The only reason you don't believe this is because you don't read your Bible. Yeah. This is why Catholics get mad at the old-fashioned Baptist preachers. This is why Seventh-day Adventists get mad at old-fashioned Baptist preachers. This is why Pentecostals and Charismatics and all these other sects of religion get mad. Because we dare say that they're still on their way to hell with all their religious works. Yeah. Because the only thing that will save you is Jesus Christ. I said the only thing that will save you is Jesus Christ. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away our sins. I said the only thing that can wash away your sins. Not your church attendance. That's right. Not your prayer life. And not your Bible reading. That's right. Galatians chapter number 2, verse number 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Go ahead and read Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. Galatians 3, verses 1 through 14. Galatians 3, verse 21 through 26. Galatians 5, verses 1, 4, and 7. Galatians 6, verse number 14. Take your Bible, please, and turn to Hebrews chapter number 7. Hebrews chapter number 7. Salvation is simple and easy, ladies and gentlemen. Man and religion complicate it so they can make money off of people, because the love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible says. They want to control you and have power over you. Hebrews chapter number 7, verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest becometh us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people. For this he did once. There was no such thing as a mass every week, where they crucified Jesus Christ over and over and over and over and over again, because they sinned every single week. And so you need the new blood to drink the blood, like cannibalism, to wash away your sins and forgive your sins. You won't find that in the Bible. You won't find that. Verse 28, the Bible says in verse 27, for this he did once when he offered up himself. Verse 28, for the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Chapter number 9, verse number 11. But Christ being come in high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, that's the law, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? I'm not saved because of the law.
I'm saved because of the blood of Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. Verse number 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy place, places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed to men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Jesus died one time, not once a week on a heretical, blasphemous mass where some religious priest stands up and can claim that he can re-crucify Jesus Christ every single week for the salvation and the forgiveness of sins. Talk about blasphemy. My Bible says in James 2:17, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. It's just dead. Nobody can see it. If you're not living right, then nobody can see the faith that you have. James 2:20 says, faith without works is dead. You may be saved, but because you're not doing anything for God, you're dead and you can't witness to somebody. You're not going to win anybody for Christ because you're dead. You may be saved, you may be born again, but you ain't going to see anybody saved because of your life. James 2:22 says, by works was faith made perfect. James 2:23, on the tail end of that, James writes, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. You see, the Bible says in James chapter number 2, verse number 19, that the devils also believe and tremble. And people always use that as an excuse. So, see, believing means more than just believing. No, believing means exactly that. You see, Satan believes in God. He's just eternally damned forever. The devils believe in God, but they're eternally damned forever because they see God. They can see Jesus right now. You and I need to be saved by faith, but it's the same belief. Just because people have perverted words in the Bible, like the word perfect, does not mean sinless. It just means mature, full of age, or complete. Just because people pervert the word church in the Bible, it doesn't mean a building. It's a called out assembly of baptized believers. Same thing is true with repentance. They've perverted that word to mean something else. And all it means is a change of mind. Change your mind from going to hell so you can go to heaven when you die. Here's what Vatican II said. If anyone shall say that the ungodly man is justified by faith only, so as to understand that nothing else is required that may cooperate to obtain the grace of justification, and that it is nowise necessary for him to be prepared and disposed by the motion of his own will, let him be accursed. That's what the Vatican says. That's what the Catholic Church teaches. That you can't be saved by faith alone. That sounds like a lot of fundamental Baptists today, too. That's Canon 9. Goes on, quote, if anyone shall say that justifying faith is nothing else than confidence in the divine mercy, pardoning sins for Christ's sake, or that it is that confidence alone by which we are justified, let him be accursed. That's what the Vatican says. That's what the Pope says. Because they want you to be bound by a religious system so they can extract money from you and have control over you. The new Catholic Catechism, quote, the Lord himself affirms that baptism is necessary for salvation. Find that in the Bible somewhere, please. The church does not know of any means other than baptism that assures entry into eternal beatitude. This is why she takes care not to neglect the mission she has received from the Lord to see that all who can be baptized are reborn of water and the Spirit. God has bound salvation to the sacrament of baptism. The only problem is that's not in the Bible. That's in their tradition. Their doctrine, Vatican II Council said this, quote, sacred tradition and sacred scripture then are bound closely together, tradition, and communicate one with the other. For both of them flowing out from the same divine wellspring come together in some fashion to form one thing and move towards the same goal. Thus it comes about that the church does not draw her certainty about all revealed truths from the Holy Scripture alone. Hence, both scripture and tradition must be accepted and honored with equal feelings of devotion and reverence. That's from Vatican Council II, page 682, the conciliar and post-conciliar documents. My Bible says we're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. My Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and Titus 3, 5, for by grace are you saved through faith, and by his mercy that you're saved. Not because we're good or because of any acts of works that we've done. I would hate to be aligned up with the Pope. I would hate to be aligned up with the Catholic Church. Are you saved this morning? Are you born again this morning? I'm not asking you if you're Baptist. I'm not asking if you're Catholic. I'm not asking you how long you've been coming to church. I'm not asking if you've been baptized. Have you asked Jesus and Jesus only to save your soul from hell? That's the only way to be saved. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for loving us. Oh, dear God, thank you for being such a merciful God. The day that we bowed our heart and trusted you and only you for our salvation, the blood of Jesus Christ washed away our sins. I pray, dear God, for that person who is lost on her way to hell. Dear God, please, God Almighty, dear Holy Spirit of God, please get a hold of their heart and realize that without Jesus Christ, they're going to burn in hell forever. No religious system, no religious works, no amount of good works will they ever do to amount to the washing of the sins of their sins away. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can wash our sins away. And only putting our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believing in Jesus alone will save the soul. Lord, I passed over, I read some of these verses, I quoted the verses themselves only, but Lord, I passed over dozens and dozens of verses that prove through the whole Bible that we can only be saved by faith in Jesus Christ. May we believe that today. If there's anybody in this room that's not saved today, may they trust you today, dear God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whatever your need is, whatever your heart's desire is, you do business with God during this invitation. God bless you.